Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you on this Sunday morning. Happy New Year. We are pleased to be joined by Diganto Chatterjee, Eversource Vice President for System Planning, and Professor Manos Anagnostou, Director of Eversource Energy Center at UConn. They recently announced that they are continuing their partnership with the Energy Center. The utility has committed $14 million for the program into 2028. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Aaron. Happy New Year.
Good morning and Happy New Year for me too.
This partnership has been in existence for a while, and it certainly has provided some good information leading up to storms that Connecticut and the region really have experienced. Tell us how it began, and it's based on five pillars, I understand.
Yes, this is Manos Anagnostou. Our energy center at UConn was established in direct response to Governor Malloy's two-storm panel report, which was in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene and Sandy back in 2011-12. The panel explicitly recommended the creation of a interdisciplinary type of center in Connecticut that would address research to improve storm hazard mitigation and power system resiliency. So that was eventually became the Eversource Energy Center, whose mission is to enhance energy infrastructure resilience and ensure the delivery of reliable power and promote eventually economic growth throughout not only Connecticut, but the entire New England area.
Professor, what benefit does this provide to the university?
There are several levels of engagement. As a matter of fact, the more direct benefit is the establishment of educational programs. So we are supporting several graduate students who are doing their PhD and master's work through the center. But I would say even more importantly, we're looking at the base, is the engagement of undergraduate students. So far, we have supported more than 30 undergraduate students in various research topics, including underrepresented minority students. We have a program that's currently running and targeting enhancing the engagement of underrepresented minority undergraduates in research. And also, of course, allowing our faculty to work together, to work in an interdisciplinary fashion that would, number one, enhance their research capabilities, and number two, obviously, allowing them to broaden their partnership and collaboration across the university and across other universities as well.
Now, Diganto, tell us what benefits Eversource reaps from this, and is this a unique partnership? Is this something that other utilities around the country have come up with, or is this unique to Connecticut?
I think this is very unique. I actually am not aware of any utility that actively partners with an academic institution and invests in not just, you know, research for the sake of academic research, but really for the sake of making tools that are used in real-time operational decision-making. This is very unique, and this is the reason why sort of middle of 2021, we kind of sat down and kind of tried to understand how are we going to really take advantage of this research organization for the next 5-10 years. And that's why we developed the five pillars to kind of guide research for tomorrow's generation, to really help Eversource and its customers for the next decade.
You crunch the numbers as storms move in. You've produced deliverables that provide a pretty accurate picture of what power outages might look like.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the emblem of what this partnership has yielded, right? So just for context, today, when we have a storm coming in into the state about 2 to 3 days prior to the storm hitting us, we're able to use UConn's outage prediction model to figure out how many outages are we going to see. And as you can imagine, that's critical for us because we take that data, feed it into our internal models, and try to assess how long is it going to take us to restore power for our customers. And then we run a few iterations based on how many crews do we need. And that decision-making is critical because then we can go fetch those crews and actively start working on acquiring those crews. And then as the storm gets closer, we're able to get UConn to produce how many outages are we going to see at an individual town level. So as the crews are coming into the state, we can start to work on where to dispatch these crews based on how many outages are we going to see at a circuit level. That's the kind of work we've been doing with UConn. It's tremendous value for us.
Professor Anagnostou, with UConn's role as a land-grant institution that has been involved in forestry for a long time, is this a pretty good fit in terms of the, you know, how forested a state Connecticut is?
I think it's a great fit. I think that the work around vegetation management to prevent damage to electrical systems ahead of storms has included explorations of multiple of our expertise, including the remote sensing expertise, forest science, that has produced ideas and tools for sustainable and storm-resistant forest designs based on understanding and predicting how trees move in the wind. So as a matter of fact, accounting also for our outreach program and social science program within environmental science and engineering, we are actually exploring how the right tree, right place planting approach for minimizing tree and power line damage can be promoted to society. People from the natural resource and the environment and researchers and faculty are supporting local wood industry and educating residents through community seminars, talks about trees and forest management. And they are actually have established a signature education program, an outreach program that's called StormWise. This is becoming a nationally known initiative that other universities are actually trying to develop, and they are partnering with UConn in that idea, in that respect.
On the outage piece, does the technology continue to improve? Are you changing your models based on past predictions and what actually happened to make future predictions even better?
Absolutely. We're becoming constantly smarter. This is an artificial intelligence-based approach. We cannot build mechanistic models like we do in other cases, like building mechanistic models for infrastructure damages or infrastructure resilience. In this case, we're talking about trees. We're talking about nature. Nature has multiple dimensions that cannot fully incorporated in a physical, full mechanistic approach. So we are building semi-statistical or machine learning-based approaches that allows big data analytics to kick in and help with the prediction. This is a 10-year effort, I should say. We started back in 2011, 2012, after the two storms. And since then, we've been constantly improving and expanding the model architecture, learning through new storms and including new parameters, all around the idea of creating the most comprehensive, pretty much actually, I think in the country, is the most comprehensive model that exists that can capture all types of weather, not just, let's say, the most extremes, but also the more frequent winter events, nor'easters, thunderstorms, even events that are very rare and very difficult to predict, like compound heavy rainstorms with winds, bomb cyclones, etc. So these are all challenges that combine both weather forecasting uncertainties and forecasting improvement needs, but also the machine learning part, which is basically how the weather interacts with trees and infrastructure to eventually lead to damages and the outages that we've seen.
Diganto, talk a little about how this partnership plays into Eversource's planning for a changing climate.
Climate change is real, and some of the research that UConn has produced You know, while it's very good, it's also alarming because Professor Anagnostou just mentioned, you know, we had, of course, Alfred, we had Irene, we had Sandy, we had Isaias. If you think about these storms, catastrophic in nature, they all happened within a 10-year time frame, right? And the research that UConn is now doing is pointing to more frequency of these very high intensity storms within a 10-year period. So why this is really important for us, right? In these very catastrophic large storms, of course, we have a lot of outages. And so one way to fix this, of course, is to have a lot of crews staged, prepped on time, materials, all of that is a tremendous amount of cost to our customers. The other way, of course, is to build the infrastructure that is much more hardened for these severe storms. And of course, these investments would last on the system for 30, 40 years. So that's why I think this climate change research and UConn's significant database of storms really helps us kind of almost kind of roll a dice and run these simulations looking out from here on to the next 10 years. What does that next 10 years look like? And then we can test out different kinds of infrastructure plans, including tree vegetation management, but also undergrounding, also a number of different infrastructure plan changes that we're looking at. We can almost test these scenarios out with future simulated storms and understand what is the value that we're going to get. When I say we, our customers are really going to get from that additional infrastructure investment. That's where the partnership really helps us kind of look at the future value of future investments in a much more scientific way.
He is Diganto Chatterjee, Eversource Vice President for System Planning, joined by Professor Manos Anagnostou, Director of the Eversource Energy Center at UConn. They have extended their partnership into 2028, committing $14 million more from the utility to keep it going. Talk a little more about how this is going to be enhanced with this renewed agreement.
Yeah, so, you know, we all suffer from, you know, recency bias, right? We have storms right now and we're reacting to that. That's great. And resiliency will and continue to be a big focus area for us. But if you look out in the future, our system, the electric grid, is really going through a transformation. We're replacing fossil fuel generation with clean energy resources, most of which, as you know, are intermittent. You know, they depend on weather, they depend on the sun, they depend on wind. And so having a system where you primarily rely on these intermittent resources to supply power to our load, to our customers, that really is transformational because you've got to now think of not just, you know, how much natural gas supply do you have, but you've got to have a really good understanding of tomorrow's weather. What does the wind speed look like at every hour of tomorrow? What does the solar, look like in different towns? And what is the net effect of cloud cover tomorrow at 11 a.m.? And what does that look like at 6 p.m.? So really understanding weather and its impact not only on the grid, but on the supply side becomes really important. So having those tools be built today so that we are better prepared for reliability over the next 10 years is really important. And that's just one of the five pillars, right? Resiliency, reliability, renewable integration, having all of these tiny intermittent solar farms that are all over our state act as if one large or multiple large power plants in an aggregated manner. That's also equally important. Being able to pilot some of these through this partnership is really helpful. And then cybersecurity. This is one area that is not really thought of as really important, but if you have a lot of these intermittent generators that are connected all over our distribution system, being able to assess their cybersecurity threats, their vulnerabilities, and then being able to make sure that our distribution system can be safe and reliable in this, you know, futuristic world, that's really important. And finally, and Professor Anagnostu mentioned this, you know, what better way to have this transformation in our industry be propelled by undergraduate research from, you know, minorities and promoting diversity and inclusion through this undergraduate research, and then being able to, frankly, selfishly hire those really talented individuals to come work for Eversource as they complete their research. It makes me very happy to be able to have a part in that.
Now, you mentioned solar farms, but also coming down the pike is offshore wind. Professor Anagnostu, talk a little about how you are going to be able to assist with forecasting wind offshore so we know how much power is going to be generated. And do the characteristics of the geography make things different in New England than, say, opposed to Europe, where there's more offshore wind?
Absolutely, it does. And so we need localized understanding or local understanding of how we can improve the predictability at a very fine temporal scale of the wind and eventually the energy generation. So we do know that the Northeast Atlantic cluster, which is kind of southern New England, is expected to grow tremendously. We're hearing projections up to, I would say, 20 gigawatt of installed capacity in the next 15 years, right? But the question of the offshore wind farm industry is how we can fully realize this energy and environmental benefits by minimizing the cost and technical risks of those offshore wind energy projects. So our research tailors in that area by basically investing on novel oceanic and remote sensing observations, measuring both sea surface and atmospheric near surface atmospheric variables, and then eventually bringing in our state-of-the-art models on flows and winds and turbulence of the boundary layer to improve the fidelity of those wind resource characterizations, and eventually improve the forecasting that Ingando mentioned earlier under operating conditions. But also, one unique element of our center is that we are trying to integrate the atmospheric, let's say, environmental science that comes from the resource characterization forecasting with the power system engineering to optimize the wind power integration in the grid. So that's unique in the country. And I think that next pillars that we're actually developing now for the next 10 years would make that integration seamless.
I'm curious if this partnership is going to yield results that could improve weather forecasting overall.
It could. We do have researchers in the center who are actually focusing explicitly on weather forecasting. This is, of course, not the only, or probably is not the primary focus of the center research, but we do fund research on weather forecasting. And more importantly, I should mention here that the center is collaborating with National Weather Service and NOAA. As a matter of fact, we do have a close interaction with NOAA on evaluating certain weather forecast products and potentially integrating some of those products in our outage prediction modeling. Obviously, this can happen also with wind farm and offshore wind predictions. And furthermore, our research would actually develop tools and potentially predictive models that would improve the predictability of some of the currently unpredictable variables like wind gust and surface conditions that are very critical for damages and obviously for wind energy generation.
Diganto, is the technology improving to store energy that's generated when, say, it's sunny out, so that can be used when the sun is down?
Yeah, there's obviously quite a few, battery storage technologies out there already. But it is very, very important. You can see how forecasting becomes a very important piece of that puzzle, because it's not just helpful to have a lithium ion battery be able to store power for, say, a 4 hour or 6 hour duration. It's just as, or probably more important, to understand where to locate that battery storage so that our grid can actually reliably integrate some of this offshore wind or solar farms even hydro, reliably dispatching it at the right time so that frequency of the grid is maintained and we kind of maximize the usage of renewable generation. So yes, I think today we know lithium ion batteries. There's some new technologies coming in, flow batteries that could help us because they are longer duration batteries. The future is going to keep iterating on new technologies so that it fills that void of reliability to the extent created by retirement of fossil fuel generation.
Earlier, you mentioned the possibility of undergrounding more lines. What are the conditions that make that something that would be beneficial?
Yeah, so if we're in a place, in a neighborhood, let's say in a town that is just heavily forested, and as we know, there's plenty of towns in Connecticut like that, and you've got long distances that are exposed to a lot of tree cover. Those are areas where you've got heavy tree exposure and a lot of customers in those towns or at the end of those circuits that would have very high exposure for long duration outages, large trees coming down and taking out poles. The restoration time really starts to look very, very long and also expensive. So we're looking at areas on our system where combination of restoration time, restoration cost, other alternatives such as aerial cables or just plain old reconductoring or putting in bigger poles, those costs really have to be looked at a level playing field and look out 10 years. Maybe that undergrounding doesn't really make sense if you just look at a year or 2 years of storms. But this is why that research of looking out 10 years and looking at that frequency and intensity of storms really helps us kind of see things clearer. Maybe undergrounding starts to make sense in a lot of those areas if you consider those higher frequency and intensity of storms in heavily treed areas. So that's the kind of work we're doing right now. First quarter of this year, we'll be coming out with our resiliency plan. So much more to come on that.
He is Diganto Chatterjee, Eversource Vice President for System Planning, joined by Professor Manos Adagnostou, Director of the Eversource Energy Center at UConn. Thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thank you for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance for your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.